Personal development. Let's consider, first of all, a few definitions for this topic. One of them would be becoming all that God intended for me to be. Becoming all that God intended for me to be. And that covers his intentions for me as a person, as a member of his body, and as a navigator girl. Becoming all that he wants me to be in each one of those areas. And we want to emphasize that word becoming because personal development is a process of continuing growth and change where by God's grace I can concentrate on my strengths and develop them to the optimum. And also, I can be working on my weaknesses and bringing them up to an acceptable level. Concentrating on my strengths, developing them to the optimum, and working on my weaknesses, bringing them up to an acceptable level by God's grace. Then a second definition would be accepting the responsibility for my own progress in life. Which is another way of saying self-tutoring. Now, the navigators have a staff development program whereby they offer their staff certain programs or things that they feel will develop the staff. But personal development is me accepting responsibility for myself. It's not on anybody else's shoulders now. It's on mine. And you can see how this would fit in very well into the area of girls in our category. Because at a younger level, usually you have it hand-fed to you. But now we begin accepting responsibility for ourselves for that progress. Then third, the one that I feel is most applicable, or it just is my definition, is experiencing the adventure of life. You know, life really is a ball, and I think it was Scotty who said, every day is a brand new set of experiences, especially arranged for me by Jesus Christ. And so personal development is just actively participating in that wonder of life that Jesus has specially designed for me. And each day, waking up with the question, now, Lord, what do you have for me to learn today? How can I develop? And this involves investing time, energy, and materials, usually selfishly. It's for my benefit. I invest those things in myself in order that ultimately God will be glorified and other people will be helped. So in a way, there is some selfish aspect, if you want to put it that way, to personal development. Because I look at myself and I think, now where am I? Where do I need to go? And I start investing time, money, or materials in order to progress in those areas. It also involves an honest look at myself. Just where am I? Where do I need to go? How do I get there? And then it involves particular attitudes. I think of the attitude of active involvement or active participation versus just observation. To be actively involved in life. You know, this is the reason that children learn so quickly and so fast. I was visiting Bob and Pat Lovelace and little old Heather, their two-year-old daughter. And I was brushing my teeth with my electric toothbrush in the morning in the bathroom, and Heather happened by the door, and there I was brushing, and she just looked up, and I could tell this was something that she probably had never seen before. So I stood there and let her take it all in for a minute, and she came closer, stepped closer. And I knew that if I had bent down close enough, she would have reached out and touched it, and, you know, if I had given her the toothbrush, she would have put it in her mouth. And children just get themselves actively involved. They're not content to stand by and look. They enter in. And this is what we must be as learners and as people who are involved in personal development. Get yourself, jump in, and don't just observe from the sidelines. And then it involves discipline, an attitude of discipline, and an attitude of openness, being wide open to learn from anyone and any circumstance. So those are some attitudes that I think we must have if we really want to be involved in this. Then our motivation. Why are we even talking about personal development this morning? Is God really interested in personal development? Is it scriptural? And, you know, I think that we must come to the point of realizing that any motivation for personal development must have its roots and its motivation in the scriptures. It cannot be for self-glory. I must have from the scriptures, know the principles, and be motivated by the Lord himself for his glory. And anything else is really wood, hay, and stubble. And Romans 12:2 in the Living says, be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Wouldn't you like to be that kind of a person with a fresh newness in all you do and think? And really, the fact is that God doesn't desire or expect us to be content with a status quo experience. We've come a certain way, but he doesn't want us to be content with that, the status quo. He doesn't want us to have cemented imaginations or stagnant experiences. He's a God of freshness and newness, and he wants us to experience that too. And I read a quote, I believe it was in an article by Scotty, where he brought out, by the mid-30s, most people have stopped acquiring new skills and abilities and attitudes in any aspect of their lives. Well, that's not too far away for some of us. So you and I must resist that attitude. The mid-30 mentality, I think he called it, and be open and be learners and developing and have a fresh newness in all we do and think. Now, what do some scriptures have to say about personal development? Well, I just chose a couple. Proverbs 24:30-34 is to me a picture of an obsolete life. He says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone that wall thereof was broken under. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And I think we can learn some truths from this verse. And the first one is that our lives probably have some weeds and thorns in them. Now, these aren't necessarily sins. They're just little things, little weaknesses, or little areas in our lives that need to be uprooted, taken out, and replaced by something. We have a garden at our house, and I've never had a garden before. But one thing I've observed in that garden is when you plant and have rows of lettuce or rows of carrots or rows of radishes, the weeds don't grow where the plants are. The weeds grow in other places. So the thing to do in my life is to plant the good things in, the strengths, and develop those good things so that there is less room for the weeds. And each one of us has those little thorns and weeds that need to be taken out. And then the second thing we can learn is that definitely one of the greatest hindrances to personal development is just laziness. And that's where our attitude of discipline comes in. So we have thorns and weeds, and that leads us into Hebrews 12 and 13. Now I realize that this passage is talking about our response to God's chastening in our lives, but I think the truth is still there, that God wants us to work on our weaknesses, or strengthen those weak areas. Lift up the hands which are hanging down, you know, the feeble knees. Let's get those up to par. No. And I think the reason for this is because year after year, if I do have the same weakness, and if I'm not working on that in God's grace, then it's going to become weedier. It's not going to become better. It's going to become worse. Now, as I work on it, it might not ever become a real strong area of my life. I need to realize that. I'll always have weaknesses. But at least I'll be keeping a few of those weeds pulled. And then Isaiah 42, 9 and 10. The reason I chose that verse is just it reminds us that God is a God of newness. He does new things. Sing unto the Lord a new song. He's a creator and he's very creative in his being. And so even though he never changes, he brings us to new experiences and new plateaus in our lives, and he wants to do new things. Now, a hindrance to this, again, is just being content with the status quo or being self-satisfied. God won't bring me to a new plateau if I'm kind of rutted where I am. So I need to take stock and see where I am and then where I need to progress from there. And go upward. Let him lead me upward. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Jesus just tells us to come, take his yoke, and learn. Be a learner. And I don't know if you all have, I'm sure all of us have seen these articles in recent logs. Cultivate the Art of Thinking by Reading, and The Disciple is a Learner. Howard Hendricks wrote this, and Scotty wrote this. But both of them bring this point out, that Jesus wants us to be learners all our lives. Isaiah 54. Morning by morning he wakes up my ear to hear as a learner. And the reason that he does that is so that I can teach others. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. So, in a very real sense, my capacity to bless and influence a person's life is dependent on my fresh intake of new ideas from the Lord. He gives me a learning ear that I can teach others. Isaiah 41, 15 through 20. This speaks of God's developmental program, and I think there are some things in here that can be a model for our own developmental program. That's why I chose this verse. God developed this area that he's talking about, and he developed his people. And some of the things that he brings out there, his developmental program was creative. It was spirit-centered. It produced beauty. It was progressive. It was aimed at his glory. And it was for the good of his people. So maybe we could take those principles and use them as a model for our own developmental program, whatever we decide to do. And then real quickly, 1 Corinthians 12:31 in Amplified tells us to earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and the best, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. So here God tells us, well, let's work on our strengths too. Let's develop those. Now, I just want to say a bit about gifts. We could spend 90 minutes talking about gifts, and as I prayed about it, I didn't feel like I was really able to stand up and teach you in this area. I do have some recommendations of tapes. We have several good tapes in our NAV library. There's a book out by Theodore Epp on discerning your spiritual gift. Bill Gothard has excellent material on your gift. And I think each one of us should make use of some of these resources and know what your spiritual gift is. I think the thing that helped me the most is knowing that a gift is a supernatural endowment that is God-given. It isn't necessarily developed, well, it can be developed, but it's not, you can't claim the glory for it. It's given to you by God, and so it hasn't been taught you by man. And it's the thing that turns you on, the thing that comes naturally and that turns you on. It's the thing where other people are blessed. And it's the thing where God receives the glory. So those are just a few thoughts that might help you, and I would commend to your reading or your listening these tapes or the booklets on that. But rather than look at this area of personal development and concentrate on gifts, I would like today to think of personal development in the specific areas, spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, and social. And that's how I'd like to approach it, and then to apply those areas on your particular gift, if anything fits. So I'll just share with you a few things that I found in each of these areas, things that could be done. And boy, this is not inclusive at all. I'm depending on you to share in our workshop sessions what you've learned from your own experience. But let's take the spiritual area first of all, because Paul does tell us to exercise ourselves unto godliness, to concentrate on the godly things of life. And Proverbs 31 tells us that charm is deceptive and beauty is vain, but the spiritual part of us is the thing that's going to last. So if we're not concentrating in the spiritual development, I think we're missing the whole, we're going to short circuit everything else. Okay, what can we do to develop spiritually? Well, I wrote down a few things in the areas of the basics. The good old basics, you can't get away from them. Scripture memory. Well, something that I've done in the past, and I'm doing now, is memorizing books and memorizing my references in order so that I don't even have to look at the cards. I can quote all my verses, say from the book of Philippians, without even looking at the cards. And I do this for several reasons. Number one, I can review them as I drive along, you know, Philippians 1, 6 and 7, Philippians 1, 10 and 11, Philippians 1, 20 and 21, 1, 29, 2, 2 through 10, 2, 12 through 15, 2, 21, 3, 3, 3, 8 through 10, 3, 14, 15 and 16, 3, 20 and 21, 4, 4, 4, 5 through 8, 5 through 11, 4, 19. And I can review the whole book of Philippians or whatever book it is without looking at those, And it controls my thought life. While I'm driving or if I'm at a show and I don't like what I see, I can close my eyes and review Philippians or Colossians or whatever. And I have done that lately with the lousy shows that are out. So that's one thing that might stimulate you. Another reason that I do that is because sometime it's quite possible that the Word of God and my verse box might be taken away from me. And I'd like to have it and know those verses. So, stimulate yourself in that area, and some of you might have other ideas along scripture memory. Bible study. Ian Monroe is a representative in the Western Division, and he's developed a new method of Bible study known as verse-by-verse meditation. It's really exciting. Probably requires about 10 hours a week, minimum, to work on a chapter. But some of you who don't know of Ian's method might want to write him or check with Barb Haycraft from his area. I don't know if she would have some extra copies of that with her. But it's an exciting method and something new beyond the old STS or advanced STS. Another thing that you could do in that area of Bible study is, I just call it word studies. As you're reading along some morning, you come across a word, humility or meekness. You can tell which ones I've been working on lately. Just stop at that word and first of all, think of all the references that you can concerning that word. Jot those down and the principles. Then look back in your analytical concordance. Look up the Greek, see what you learned from that. Find some other verses on it. And just do a little topical or word study right there on that word. God usually makes something stand out to you in your area of need. Or you could major on one topic a month or one topic every 6 months or one topic a year if you're that kind of a student. And just do study all you can on that one topic for that particular period of time. Just become a more or less a specialist in that field. In your reading, again, for a specific period of time, I usually take a month, read in one particular area, or you could take it for a year. The area of interpersonal relationships, the area of communication, or maybe some of the graces, faith, hope, love, or the area of spiritual gifts, and do all the reading that you can in that area for a specific period. Prayer. Have you ever considered just taking one country for a week and praying for that country every day and the people that are in it, navigators or otherwise, that you know over there? Concentrating on Africa or New Zealand or Australia or whatever. I just named continents, but anyway. Or taking one verse or passage of verses and praying over that each day for a different person. Ephesians 3:16 through 20, for instance. And each day praying over that passage for a different person. And, of course, our protracted time with God. Now, all these, I realize, could be very mechanical and duty-bound, and we could just take all these things that I've mentioned and just put them right over into the intellectual category, because that's what they could be, just an intellectual exercise, unless they're centered on the person of Jesus Christ. The whole motive for this is that I might be permeated with his being, saturated with his word. So if none of these turn you on or give you that heart to get to know him better, then choose something that would, because he must be the center of all of this. Okay, then the mental or intellectual area. And here I think we just need to challenge ourselves beyond our capacity. How do I view the challenge of newness? Is it a threat to me, or is it an opportunity? the challenge of a new, different thing. I was sharing with some friends yesterday, a couple of days ago, one of our friends came by the house and took me out for a motorbike ride. And I was in the helmet and all this. And 5 years ago, I would have not done that for anything because that was below the dignity of a girl's worker. And I just would have been threatened by it, you know. But it was really a fun experience. Have you ever ridden a motorbike? We got up to 60 miles an hour. It was really fun. But a new experience, how do I view it? Am I threatened by it or am I challenged by it? Can I learn and enjoy the life that Jesus Christ has given me? He is so fun, and we can enjoy life with him. So in this area, what I divide it up into is the area of skills, which I don't know if you would say that that's under intellectual, but I put it under intellectual. Skills, and then just the area of reading again. Now, under skills, some things that we found helpful. 1 year, I had all my girls take a typing class. Boy, I just feel like typing is a skill that almost every girl should have. You can write your own ticket if you're a typist. I graduated with a degree in elementary education. But today, I'm Leroy, and I'm secretary, all because I can type. I never had any training in secretarial realms. But what a marvelous opportunity this is, and I would have missed out on it. And all I did was have 2 years of typing in high school and then some brush-up with this class. So I had all my girls go to one of those night classes at the high school for adults, and they paid $250, and they learned the skill of typing. And I encourage them to just keep that up, because sometime you might have an opportunity to use that, an exciting opportunity. Then one time we went to the same adult classes and took sewing. And 1 year we went to the adult classes and took cooking. I think Diane Nelson was with me that time. So particularly if we have a bent towards hospitality, sewing and cooking or art, learning how to be artistic in our homes is very good for us. Now, let me encourage you to major on one of these at a time. You don't take them all at once. Then in the area of reading, this is more along the intellectual lines now, not the spiritual reading. Reading is really a bad area in my life. I've tried to read four books at a time. One of them spiritual or devotional. One of them biographical, like a missionary biography. One of them secular or classic. And I also combine Reader's Digest in there. Sometimes that's all I read is Reader's Digest. One article a day. And one of them in the, I call it recreational or crafts, you know, like a book on gardening or a book on flower arranging or Peg Bracken's household hints or something like that. Crafts, skills, recreational, whatever you want to call it. National Geographic is a good one to have on our tables and be able to pick up from time to time. It's expensive, but it's sure worth it. Or American Heritage. It's an excellent magazine. My dad gave me a subscription to that this year, and that's very good. But the thing to remember in our reading is, you know, don't expect too much of yourself. If you can read a chapter a day, great. You're doing fine. Be encouraged. And our reading should take us someplace. There should be a purpose or a progress. Well, I shouldn't be reading, if my reading is just recreational, and if I just sit down every day and just read and there's no real profit or no either intellectual, spiritual stimulation from it, then it's probably not the best thing to be reading. There should be some progress in my life as a result of that reading. And then the physical area. Proverbs 31 tells us that this woman of God is physically fit for her God-given tasks. And she also has made the most of her physical assets. She's physically fit for whatever God called her to, and she's made the most of her physical assets. So the things that I'm working on in the physical area, and this is the area that I have concentrated on this past year. But the four things that I'm working on in this area are diet, exercise, my wardrobe, and my fingernails. Take yourself wherever you are, girls, and develop. I need a development in my fingernails. You wouldn't have believed it, but I did. Diet. For those of you who are under the pressure of this and under the burden, let me encourage you. God is able. And speaking as a person who lost 50 pounds in the past 2 years, I tell you that He is able. All of us, not only the ones who are having problems in the overweight area, all of us should have good diets. Joanne Ray would be able to tell us about a good diet, high protein, low carbohydrate. And we do fight this in America. If you've ever noticed, our society revolves around food. You know, when you think of something to do with your gals, what do you think of first? What do we eat? And usually it's gloppy and gooey and syrupy. And about the NAV cookbook, everybody sent in their most fattening recipes. Carbohydrates. Nobody thought of the overweight person. There's some good recipes in there. But we need to be working on diet, on a balanced diet. Then exercise. I don't know whether you run or whether you do certain exercises every morning. I found 15 exercises. I got 10 of them from a Woman's Day magazine, and then I've gotten a few others from other places. 15 exercises that I do every morning, except Sunday, to music, because it helps. And I'd be glad to share with you those exercises. They're good. They help me get from a size 18 to a size 10. So I'm sold on them. We need to be exercising, swimming or running or 15 or 20 minutes of exercise every day. And then wardrobe. Janine Stark is going to be here and help us on choosing colors and choosing types of wardrobe that look good on us. And we need to know. I think a daughter of the king needs to look like it. And we know that our outer appearance is going to fade, and our outer appearance is not the thing that really matters in the long run. But it does matter. And girls, other girls, look at us and they learn from us in the way that we keep ourselves outwardly. So we need to be as sharp in that as possible. And then nails or hair, whatever your need is. Well, just work on that. Take out 6 weeks and go to a good beautician and learn how he works with your hair. Learn how to set it yourself or whatever you need to develop in that area. Okay, then the emotional or the social area. I kind of combined those two. And I asked myself, when are my emotional needs stimulated or met? And I think it's when I feel worthwhile and useful and creative. And when I have a part in other people's lives. So the three areas that I listed under this emotional category are creativity, organizational, and then social. Under creativity, This is an attribute of the nature of God. He's a very creative God, and so when I am exercising creativity, I'm experiencing something that God experienced when he created. I'm experiencing the joy of the Creator. And this area never needs to stop. It is the most fun area, and the book that I think is a must on this is Hidden Art. This is Hidden Art. It is so neat. I don't care what thing you're interested in, gardening, sculpturing, you know, any area of art, cooking, interior decoration, drama, writing. She covers all of it. And she brings out that this is when we exercise this area and when we are creative, we're actually being godly. And he has given each one of us a spirit of creativity. Don't tell yourself that you can't do it. You can. There's a sense of real fulfillment or satisfaction when we are organized. And there's a sense of frustration when we're not. So to me, the organizational area belongs under here. Now, you can put it any place you want to. My categories are not set. But I do feel like we need to, at some point in our lives, we need to work on this and have that developed. Two things under this area would be a file system. I'm of the old school that believes in a file system. I don't know how many of you girls have worked up a file system where you keep your notes and your all the resources that you have in any given topic, so that at a moment's notice, if you're asked to give a talk or if you're going to meet with a girl on any particular area, you've got it right there in your file box and you can just lift it out and call through it and pray over this and decide what you're going to use. Having a usable, workable file system. And it takes work. I worked one whole summer on my file system, almost every day. You know, organizing my notes and typing it all up in an outline form. And I have mine under the topics of the Big Dipper, which covers a great deal. And then personal, I have a section for personal and a section for secular, which, they have things like poems in it and my diploma from college and things like that. I guess that could be personal too. But anyway, having a file system I think really helps. Some system where you can organize and have those things at your fingertips. In the social realm, I'm working on... I should work. I can't really claim that I'm working. I should work on the area of correspondence. And getting back to this thing of creativity, have you ever made your own stationery or your own birthday cards or your own any kind of card? No, you can thumb through a magazine, find a fun picture or a fun thing, paste it on a piece of, you know, construction paper, think up a funny thing to say or a nice thing to say, and you've got your own card and you save 35 to 50 cents. And the card communicates to the person who receives it that you took the time and you cared enough to send your very best. Really? It's so fun to receive a personal thing. You know, you don't have to go down to the store and buy one of those cards for 50 cents that says, "Thinking of you." That's all it says. You know, one little line and you pay 50 cents for that. That's so... Be creative sometime in your correspondence. In the area of communication, or conversation rather, both of these areas are communication. Conversation, just learning from every person that God brings into your point of reference. I was flying home on the airplane the other night with a man who'd been touring in Germany. And so I asked him all the questions I could about his singing tour and about Germany. That was a delight. I learned all sorts of new things. Well, I could have shut up and watched all the lights underneath. You know, that was a real pretty sight. But I kind of chose the better thing, I think, and I learned a great deal. And he was a very stimulating person. Then our neighbors in this area of social. You know, do you know your neighbors? Have you ever taken anything over to them? Not necessarily witness to them even. Just become a social person and gotten to know them as another human being living on the planet Earth. They're people, and God can use them in their life. I mean, can use you in their lives as well as them in your life. We're kind of working on that at our household. Okay, those are just some areas that, a few ideas. This is something that I wrote up for myself, and you don't have to use it all, and you can change it. But I use a check chart just to kind of evaluate myself over a long haul and see how I'm doing in these areas. For instance, in the spiritual area, each week I write down in the spiritual area what I've done in the area of the word or the area of prayer or witnessing or fellowship, what I've done beyond the normal, the routine. You know, I don't write down quiet time every day. But if I've done something extra beyond that for my own personal development, I write it down. For mental, you know, if I've done any outside reading, or if I've read the Reader's Digest under the first week of the month or whatever, I write it down. If I've done anything in developing my skills, jot it down. For my physical, I keep a closer watch on that. I just, you know, my weight. Each week I try to jot down what my weight is because I want to keep it at a certain limit. I jot down if I've exercised every day. I jot down, I drink gelatin for my nails and I try to keep them up. And I try to have 7.5 hours of sleep. So this is more a daily thing under physical. And it's not really developmental there. It's maintaining the norm in that area. If there's something that I do that's developmental, great, I jot that down. Under social and emotional, the same thing. You know, what new thing have I done? Now, the reason that I do this is so over a long period of time, let's say a 6-month period of time, I can look back over these, and if I see that this area is all blank, I know that I better do something, start concentrating in that area. I don't have all of these things filled in all the time. Okay. It's more the thing of concentrating in one area than concentrating in another area, trying to maintain, and so forth. So, you know, if those of you who are sitting out there thinking, how do you have the time to do all these things? Well, we don't. We don't have the time to work in every one of these all the time. But we pick and we choose. And then something like this just helps me to evaluate over the long haul and see, well, maybe I better work in this area because I haven't done anything lately. So that's, and again, these, the categories, if you want to put creativity, for instance, under some other area, fine, that doesn't matter. I don't care how you categorize it at all. How you break it down.